Hey, do you remember Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? Hello, and welcome to Hey, Do You Remember?, a show where we reminisce about a movie or TV series we grew up with, then take off the rose-tinted glasses to see how it holds up. I'm Chris.
I'm Donna.
And I'm Carlos.
And today we're revisiting Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. Since the Middle Ages, the tale of Robin Hood, a heroic outlaw who steals from the rich to give to the poor, has been told over and over again with seemingly endless variations, additions, and embellishments. Before Prince of Thieves was released in June of 1991, the most well-known adaptations were probably the 1973 Disney cartoon and the 1938 film The Adventures of Robin Hood, which starred Errol Flynn. But director Kevin Reynolds and star Kevin Costner had a very different take in mind for their summer blockbuster. Prince of Thieves is to those earlier interpretations what Tim Burton's original Batman movie was to the campy 60s show. It's certainly a lot bigger in scope, and its violence is substantially more visceral, but as the classic tale gets filtered through the muted color palette that was so pervasive in the early 90s, there's a sense that the filmmakers took a kitchen sink approach to their version of the story. Throw it all in and we'll figure it out later. Only no one did. Reviews were mixed, and most of them singled out the unfocused narrative as one of the film's major shortcomings. A great deal of ire was also aimed at Costner, whom many felt was miscast in the title role. The movie was still a gigantic hit, though. Its budget was $48 million, and its box office gross topped out at $390 million, making it the second highest grossing film of the year behind Terminator 2. Our generation in particular seems to remain pretty divided on this one. For some, the mere mention of it induces eye rolling. For others, it was a staple of their childhood that remains near and dear to their hearts. And to that end, I'd like to welcome a special guest who most definitely falls into the latter category and is here to help balance things out. Hello, Kristen.
Hello.
Okay, let's get into it. Donna, what do you remember about Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Well, I remember it. I watched this at home. My parents rented it as soon as it was on video, and which I guess would have been a pretty big deal because I was definitely not 13.
Scandalous.
We were pretty strict on the old borders there. So this would have been a pretty big deal. And I remember being excited to watch it. I remember around that time there was just always a lot of talk in general about Kevin Costner's butt. Oh,
thank God this was not just my household.
That I was really mine too. I was everybody.
I was so defensive in my notes.
My mother was very vocal on that.
Okay.
Everybody talked
Karen.
About it.
It was a mom
Karen,
thing.
Yes. Karen is
oh
all around.
I hear he shows his butt in this one.
Ooh, I know. I love that butt. Ooh, buns.
Ooh, buns.
But then, yeah, in watching it, I remember kind of leaving with like a pretty anxious feeling. Like, and during watching it, a lot of it, I was like, well, I should not be seeing this. I didn't have a lot of that like magic fantasy devil worship in my day-to-day life. I was really unfamiliar with that.
Like, the rest of us have plenty of death.
You godless fucks. This is nothing to you.
I wasn't a part of that. No, not, but you know, but I was like more mature. I remember like as I was watching it thinking like, whoa, should I be watching this?
And, well,
like,
he is the bad guy, at least.
He is the bad guy, that's true. But.
Oh, I thought that was really unclear as to whether or not we were supposed to think he was the bad guy. Between the devil worship.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm going to let Donna finish here, but just to clarify right off the top, so I definitely watched the extended edition.
Yep.
That's the one we own.
Yeah,
I think you did too. Do you know which one
I don't know what it was on television with commercials for 2.5 hours.
I think that's the theatrical cut with commercials. Yeah. Because the devil version. Worship is severely played up
There's
in the
so
extended.
Much more witch okay. stuff in the extended Ooh. Stuff.
Okay.
Like, and with him and the cult player. And like it's yeah. most all the added stuff is mostly Alan Rickman stuff.
And oh. well and mostly yeah. the witch. I mean Mortiana is
well him and the witch, but yeah. it's mostly him. But anyway, yeah. sorry, Donna, go ahead.
I also remember really liking Maid Marian. Like when she was on screen, I was pretty much like, we're safe for a minute, maybe. and her hair was really pretty. Yeah. And I liked the romance stuff. I remember the song a lot.
The slow twirl down the... Oh, it's ridiculous. Such a... That's there just for like, ladies. Is that the fog in the background? The music swells.
Yeah.
It's in all the trailers.
I'm yep. pretty sure we went to like a wedding or two this year. And like that song was always... All the proms and wet. That song was just everywhere and yeah. like still is. It wouldn't be shocked at all to go to a wedding today
and hear
like,
it.
Is that how the song goes?
can we hear a little more of that?
It's a classic, you know.
It's a classic.
Carlos, what about you?
I remember seeing this movie and trying to compare it to the cartoon.
Oh wow! It was like yeah. This was me and Hook and the
yeah,
Peter Pan cartoon.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
With Hook.
Three movies.
But yeah, being like Little John, you should be a bear.
Oh, that's not how I thought you were going to finish that.
And like not caring that they shaded in these characters who were very broad in the cartoon. Like, I don't want to know that Little John has a family. And
I can say I agree, especially if the extended edition. I don't care about Little John having a family. Unnecessary.
When we brought up watching this movie, the things that I remembered, pretty much in order, a child asking Morgan Freeman if God painted him.
Yeah.
And thinking as a child, yes, he did.
Yeah.
He was. He was given those freckles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alan Rickman drooling upon his demise.
Oh, yeah.
There's a thread on IMDb titled Too Much Drool.
Well, it's a lot of drool.
Caps.
It's a lot of drool. Yeah, it's a lot. And Kevin Costner's amazing accent. And by that I mean, and I've said it in earlier episodes, he doesn't use contractions, y'all. He is not using contractions. What could we want to eat that the forest cannot provide? I'm British.
That's one of his worst moments.
Okay, but is that in the script? Do we want to get that way?
Yeah, probably.
I'm sure it's in the script.
Because the script was probably
Robin Hood is British.
Like a British, yeah. They're hearing a British person saying lines.
Yeah, and so when we went to watch the movie, I was waiting for Tracy Ullman to be the witch because she's in Men in Tights.
Yeah.
And I just remembered it being like, oh, and this was Tracy Ullman doing kind of a serious role. Being like, you know, she was doing great character work as this witch.
And Dave Chappelle is Azeem.
Achoo.
Oh, that's right, Achoo. Yeah.
Hey, Blinken.
Bless you.
Yes, so I remembered some things from Men in Tights that were like casting choices. And that's about it. And the song, which I know because I recorded a cassette of it at Wisconsin yes. Dells when I was 7 or whatever, you know, whatever age, I'll probably closer to
I think 7. I was 9 when this came out.
So yeah, I was, yeah, okay, yeah, so seven-ish. Yeah, I was between the ages of 7 and 10 somewhere. Recorded a tape at one of the places that you record cassette tapes where you're singing karaoke. And I definitely knew that song and liked it enough that I chose it. But in order for me to get to that song in my head, I have to go through, tell me if you ever really, really, ever really loved.
The Don Juan DeMarco.
Okay.
So,
and,
yes.
And I have to
Very
go
similar.
Through, I could stay awake and just
well,
be here.
Okay.
It's like, I have to go through those to be like, it's not those. It's this one.
I can say the Don Juan DeMarco one, especially because that's also
yeah.
Brian. That was Brian Adams' jam in the early to mid-90s, just writing slow jam, sexy movie tie-in songs.
Tugs at your heart.
But I know that I loved that song as a kid. I remember that I loved that song because I recorded it at Wisconsin Dells. And I would play the cassette for you guys if I didn't destroy it when I was a child. I was like, this is immediately embarrassing.
It was so sad that it's not here.
Yeah, I would have brought it. I really would have.
Kristen, what do you remember?
I remember love. I've been waiting all day to say that. I'm so excited. I do. I love this movie. It is one of my favorites.
Give Donna her thunder back.
No. That's all you're going
to say. I was like, oh, she can't say it for this one, and then I can't do it.
Okay.
You gotta do it.
It's actually Chris and I, Donna may not know this, even though she was in our wedding, we had movie posters as our wedding tables. One on my side of the family was the Prince of Thieves table.
Oh, that's right.
I love this movie. Oh. What I mostly remember, my immediate gut reaction to this movie is the music. It's amazing.
The score is really good.
I actually mentioned to a friend today, oh, I'm doing this podcast for Prince of Thieves, and she just looked at me and goes, da 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 da. Da 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 da. It's such good music. The score, I don't even like that Bryan Adams song. It's the score. It's the
Michael Kamen score.
It's
amazing.
It's definitely the first movie where I was aware of the score and cared about it.
Oh, wow.
They've used that score since for promotions of things.
The Morgan Creek logo.
Yes,
they used
exactly. Because I was like, I know this music.
Da da da.
Yeah.
So good. I'm a big historical fiction fan, and I think this may have been my first foray into it. The first time where I realized, oh, I like the fact that I can learn something while also enjoying a pretty love story. There's stuff in there. There is.
Crusades.
The
opening text.
Muslims don't drink. Muslims pray to the East. You learn lots of stuff. There's a lot of multiculturalism.
Racism exists.
You learn, you learn about multiculturalism and accepting other people, and that's good. I always loved the relationship between Azeem and Robin more than anything. The banter was just the best. There was always one shot that has always bothered me ever since I was a kid. I will get into that later. It bothers me. There's one shot
better at this than we are.
No, it's not okay. I will say that I've never considered Kevin Costner a sex symbol. I still don't. Christian Slater is, but Kevin Costner is not. I don't understand the butt thing. I do know it was a thing for my mom, and I never got it.
Mine too. So I mean, this wasn't this was.
It's a generational
thing. It was sweeping the nation. Butt. It was
this
a big deal.
Butt was everywhere. I remember being in Good Morning America.
To do about this
butt,
hiney.
Right? And then he married Joan London, so it made sense.
But yeah, I always thought this was a super solid movie. Love all of it, minus one little scene.
Okay.
So, speaking of Men in Tights, this is also similar to Varsity Blues, where there were scenes in there that are impossible to take seriously now because of the existence of Not Another Teen Movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves and Robin Hood Men in Tights. Mm. So I remember being excited for this, even though Robin Hood did not really loom large in my childhood. I liked that Disney cartoon, but I wasn't super into Robin Hood or anything. I'd maybe seen part of the Errol Flynn movie on TV. But I liked the iconography of it, the green suit, the bow and arrow, all that stuff I thought was really cool.
I heard boner.
What?
I think you said bow and arrow. I was like, his boner.
What? I was really big into boners.
So that was a good part for me.
Robin Hood's boner was great in the cartoon, in this movie. It's a little more graphic in this movie, but...
Really? I thought it was more graphic in the cartoon.
But he doesn't have pants on the whole time.
I mean...
That's true.
That's true.
And then the cartoon also, he doesn't. But yeah, like we said, I mean, at the time, my mom was a big fan of Kevin Costner. I imagine all of our moms were. I knew who Kevin Costner was because of my mom.
That's a great sentence.
It's true. It's a true sentence. She let me and my sister watch parts of Dances with Wolves when I was, which traumatized me for years because it's like we fast forwarded through the sex scenes, which parents, that makes it worse. Don't do that.
Just fast.
Yeah, don't send that message. It's angry.
Jackhammer.
Why? Well, it's with all these leading men hating vaginas. Stop taking it out on a vagina. The animal violence in Dances with Wolves is what traumatized
me.
And Kristen knows I'm really sensitive about that stuff. More so than is probably normal, I might say. I don't know. So anyway, Mom was excited because it was the new Kevin Costner movie. I remember being excited that she was excited. Seriously, it's weird to see your parents moments where they sort of geek out over stuff is really,
That's true.
That stuff sticks out to me.
That's true.
And so there was no way my stepdad was going to go see this because, you know, fuck that Costner guy. My wife is all googly-eyed over. My sister probably wasn't interested in Robin Hood. So this was one of the rare times where it was just me and mom at the movies. Mm. I think actually this might be the only time it was just me and my mom. So it stands out for that reason as well.
That's sweet.
Yeah, she picked me up from a sleepover at my friend Jeff's house. And instead of turning around to go home, we pulled on to 75th Street. She was like, got a surprise. We're going to see Robin Hood. And so there are a few things I remember about the first time I saw it. The first, and we can go more in depth with this in just a second, but I remember liking how dark and dirty it was. Like, as a nine-year-old, it feels pretty tame now, but back then, for not you know, because I was 9 years old, because this was the early 90s, it did feel darker than it would seem if you watched it for the first time today. I liked, unlike Hook, I liked that this wasn't what I was expecting based on the Disney stuff. Right away, I was just like, oh, this is different. Like, it starts with people being tortured and blood and whipping and screaming and like, whoa, is this not what I thought we were getting into? This is awesome. I do distinctly remember a particular scene where I yawned and thought to myself, this movie is too long. I'll let you know when we get there. And, of course, I remember Kevin Costner's butt because he also showed it in Dances with Wolves, and my mom reacted to it then.
He's very proud of that thing.
Yeah.
And there was an audible, like, in the theater. The women reacted to his butt. And I asked my mom why it was okay to see a man's butt, but we had to fast forward through female nudity.
That's a good point.
And
that's a good question.
Did you tell your mom, you know he poops from there?
This is coming up. This is exactly my point. So on the ride home, I'm asking my mom, why do people like butts? Because my argument being that it's a weird thing to fixate on because that's where you fart and poop from, pretty much. When you're 9 years old, that's exclusively what butts are for.
That's true. That's true.
I mean,
you sit on them, you poop out of them.
And you sit on them.
Everyone that's has true. One.
This was my first Morgan Freeman movie. My first Alan Rickman movie.
Mm-hmm. First Alan Rickman, for sure.
And at the time, I really liked it. I asked my mom to buy me a toy, like, bow and arrow set.
You're going to say butt.
A toy butt a and toy bow and arrow.
Oh, gosh.
You put it over your
that was part of the Robin Hood merchandise. Kevin Costner's
they
butt.
They had a plastered butt.
Mom, why'd you buy this for me? Put it on! Put it on!
Put on the button boner set.
Yeah. Exclusively at the pleasure chest.
Oh, man. No. Your mom's going to prison.
No. Do you remember like the toy bows and arrows where they had like the red suction cups on the end of the arrow? So that's what I had. I'd run around the forest preserve pretending to be Robin Hood.
Cute.
I had some of the toys, which were awful. Even at the time, I knew they were awful. The action figures were just repainted toys from Kenner's. I think it was their Superpowers line. Some line of, like, DC Comics toys. And all of the vehicles and playsets were just repainted Ewok shit from Return of the Jedi.
No, that doesn't work.
But the other thing was, at the time, Costner as Robin Hood did not bother me at all. And as I've gotten older, I guess I understand. It's not Robin Hood so much as Kevin Costner walking around a Renaissance fair. Like, I get it. Even when Kristen and I realized we both had a soft spot for the movie, I explained to her that it was with the caveat that I don't like Kevin Costner. I think he's miscast. And, we should table that for now because we'll get into that in a second.
It's going to come up a lot.
I think we all have opinions.
I'm pretty sure it's a theme.
But this has remained. This has remained a guilty pleasure for me. I see the faults, and actually watching it this time, I think it might be surprising the stuff I wound up having an issue with and the other stuff that I gave a pass to. And with that said, we just looked at it with fresh eyes, so let's see how Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves holds up. We start in the middle of King Richard's Third Crusade. Robin and his friend Peter are prisoners of war. They're locked up in this prison in Jerusalem. Like I said before, this was just the opening moments where it's like, holy shit, where are the talking foxes? What's going on?
I didn't remember this. I didn't remember this at all.
Yeah, really?
None of this, none of this Arabian Nights stuff did not remember this at all.
I was like, did I push play or did I go back to, like, the TV? Am I on something? I had, like...
Oh, no. Well, see, like, Kristen, I really like the score and that beginning overture, which they never even do in movies anymore, where it's like theater, where they go through all the major themes of the movie.
That's great.
So
I love when they do that in old movies.
When you get the MP3 of that or something, when you buy it off the soundtrack, I think that overture runs right into the music from this first scene. And so I listen to that music, you know, frequently enough that that's how I know all this stuff is coming. Like, all this stuff is super clear in my memory, these opening moments. And there are parts of this opening scene I like a lot. I love the way he puts his hand down to get it chopped off without having to be forced, like, you know, to have
this
it tied
English
down.
English courage.
But here's what I want to say. So I go back and forth on Kevin Costner in this movie. This, not a good start. His first line. No, I stole the bread. God damn it, dude.
He's been tortured in a...
No,
everyone else around him is like, no, Robin, you mustn't.
It didn't, like,
I stole it.
Yeah, he doesn't sound tired. He just sounds like...
Well, it was me.
Yeah. I'm going to say this line, I'm going to cash my check. I hate him in this moment.
I had a problem with this scene in that... I'm really certain everyone else in that prison died.
Yeah.
They all
The part
died.
Where he goes, like, when after he rescues Azeem and they make it through and you know, Peter gets wounded and da-da-da-da. But, like, so it's him and Azeem. And Azeem goes, why did you save me? And he's like, you know, regardless of the color of your skin, whatever our differences, no man deserves to die in there. Except all the men are just left to die in there.
Did he release all their chains?
No. He, like, visibly could not do it.
And there's that one awful scene. There's a close-up of the really pathetic-looking guy going, like, please take us with you.
And Azeem's like, you can't save them. You can't save me.
But if he can't, I mean, but he doesn't he try and he can't?
You're right.
He's hitting the chains of one.
Azeem is tied up with, like,
But it's not that he's like, fuck these assholes.
Yeah. No, it's just, it's like,
no. But he does. The fact that he escapes will mean that all of those other prisoners get punished way harsher than they were going to be punished. That's what, when they left, I was like, those guys are all about to take the punishment
so he
for Robin.
Stayed?
Yes.
He should have stayed.
He
should
have movie.
It's a worse movie.
He wasn't going to die. He was just going to get his hand chopped off.
They would have eventually killed him.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was an English soldier during the Crusades. They would have killed him.
But then why did they have Azeem in there?
He said, I'm going to die. He said, I'm...
So Azeem was going to die and all these British or English... Whatever the Crusaders were going to die to.
They're all going to die anyway.
I thought they were cutting off hands because someone stole bread.
That's what
Peter stole bread.
Which is like they accused Peter of it, and then Robin says, no, it was me.
I stole the bread.
No, I stole the bread.
It was good.
So how quickly does infection spread in the Middle Ages? They're all going to die.
I'm a little confused about this because I feel like they say that they've been in there for years. Like they've been 5 years in prison. But you're just getting around now.
You're getting around to the bread stealing sentences. Like,
it seems.
All right, we'll open the books. Bread.
What you don't realize is there used to be way more guys in there. It's taking a long time to dole out the punishments.
Yeah, it was a lot of bread stolen.
The timing was just confusing to me.
Did they say they were in prison for 5 years or fighting for 5 years?
I thought they said they were in prison for 5 years. But this is for 5 years of hell. But that I guess that could. Also means
like
5 years
of
fighting.
Of battle, and yeah, that's maybe what that's, I got.
Wait, no. But no, because regardless, the hair and the beards, they've been there a long time.
The beards were extensive.
Yeah, he looked like Jafar the old man in Aladdin.
Yeah.
You shall have your reward! Your eternal reward!
So as long as we're talking about Kevin Costner, I did write down that I do think there are moments in the movie where he nails it, like where he can be charming and playful and heroic, and then there are just as many times when his performance is like awkward, where it seems like he feels uncomfortable, and I think as an actor, I think he's maybe too sincere, and this is a character that I think works best when he's maybe a little mischievous. Like this performance, this character needs a dash of Han Solo in it.
Yes.
Yes.
And Kevin Costner's just not that guy.
Kind of needed to be Han Solo.
I always thought of this Robin Hood, and what I liked about this one versus like the Disney version, I guess, or what I had in my head as Robin Hood, is that, like, when he shows up back in England and they say, like, this wasn't like, oh, I've been in love with you forever, but, like, you used to light my hair on
love
fire.
That. Yeah. I love
that he was a rapscallion. He wasn't a good guy. He was kind of a dick.
I think that's in my notes, too, that I do like this version of the Robin Marion romance. Yeah. I like that,
So rapscallion, to me, always just kind of encompassed this Robin Hood. I'm like, oh, you little shit.
Yeah. Like, people have a reason not to believe in him when he comes back.
I mean, this, you know, the Robin Hood story, the way it's evolved over the years and how many different versions there are versions where he starts out a member of the lower class, where he's just an outlaw. Mm-hmm. Versions like this I actually like, where he's somebody who grew up privileged, has everything taken away from him, and then winds up fighting with, you know, all these other, like, lower class people or other people who've been forced out, and... I think that's really strong. And the idea of him also being like a shitty little kid that used to bully Marion, like, ties into all that. Yeah. Him, like, growing up. And I'm not sure the movie does as much with that idea as it could, but it's there and I do like it.
Yeah. Although the first scene where we see Marion makes no sense.
No.
None at all.
No. Even as a kid, it didn't make sense to me. Yeah. But okay. So anyway, they escape the prison, blah, 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 blah. Peter makes Robin promise to take care of Marion, and then he pieces out forever.
He might as well have had a red uniform on. Yeah, he's like, I'll go with you. Ah! Please keep this promise. We're going to establish that I knew you.
Okay, let's talk really quick about the Sheriff of Nottingham's first scene. This is where he shows up at Locksley Castle.
The Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
Well,
so this imagery, the robes and the masks, is so creepy. In the theatrical cut, it never comes back into play. As a kid, I remember being like, why do they establish him in this really cool way, and then there's no follow-up on who these people were? Mm-hmm. And I, even as an adult, even though he only has a couple of lines, I think this is Alan Rickman's best scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know if this is worth getting into right now. I honestly, like I said, I go back and forth on Costner. Ultimately, I don't have a giant, it doesn't take me out of the movie. I don't have a giant problem with him. If you want to talk about somebody who's wildly out of place here, it's Alan fucking Rickman. And there's no question this dude could act circles around Kevin Costner. Nobody's saying he can't. In this movie, he's in a different fucking film. Mm. He's in a totally different movie.
Well, okay. Just as from a technical standpoint, he is literally in a different movie. Anything shot outside of the sheriff's presence is very, like, static cameras.
Yeah.
Very, like very elegant shots. Very, like, nice, you know, like, like it's pleasant to watch. Anything with Alan Rickman is handheld, in your face.
Oh, it's like, close-ups,
Dutch
the
angles. Like, very, like,
fishbowl.
Yeah,
exactly.
Very
exactly,
strange.
Yeah.
Like, a very strange touch that they gave to that. And, so Alan Rickman is kind of being treated differently than everyone else in this movie. Mm. So it kind of makes sense that he doesn't fit. But this was totally just, well, he was the villain in
Die Hard.
And he basically is just Hans Gruber in
I don't think so.
I'm talking like facially, like, obviously, it's facially.
Hans Gruber is a real...
He's using the same face.
It's literally the same face.
He's used in other movies.
Yeah. And movies that he would use later.
That's so fucking lazy.
His
Come
face
on,
is so
Alan. Hans Gruber is a real performance. There's different layers to that dude, and it's more... it's more calm and collected and authoritative. And that's one of the things that bugs me most about the sheriff in this, is that if he's going to be the main antagonist, because this version cuts out King John completely.
Yeah.
It's just the sheriff and Guy of Gisborne.
Prince John.
Prince John, you're right. Sorry. Mm. I don't know why I poked you. So I don't buy him, other than this first scene when he shows up with these other dudes in the robes, I just don't buy him as a leader of men. I don't buy him as someone in a position of authority. He's so fucking bumbling. It's like, how'd you even get your pants on this morning?
Like him so much as an actor.
I do.
Yeah.
And
by Grapthar's hammer,
of course,
I like him.
Of course. And I didn't hate him in this role. But I feel like a lot of... In my favorite Robin Hood story, which is the cartoon, the Sheriff of Nottingham has clear direction from another person. Mm-hmm. And he's a sadist, and he loves it, but...
What animal is the sheriff? Because I can't picture him
bear.
Now.
A bear, a giant bear. And Prince John is a tiger.
I only picture Prince John. Like, yes!
Like the crown that doesn't
Yeah, the crown doesn't quite fit, which is great.
Yeah, so it's weird. When you go back and start looking at different interpretations of the story, Prince John, Sheriff of Nottingham, and Guy of Gisborne, those three are consistently the bad guys, and Sheriff of Nottingham is almost always one of them, but only with one of the others. Mm-hmm. It's never three. Mm-hmm. And in some versions, it's actually Guy of Gisborne who's giving the orders, and Sheriff Nottingham is coming out. In this one, it just seemed like they sort of, because they threw in so many other characters that they created for this film, that they, it's somewhere along the way, the decision was made to just combine the characters of Prince John and the sheriff. Because the sheriff's goal in this, what he's trying to do, does make more sense for a prince.
Yes.
Yeah. It absolutely, like, at some point I was like, wait. So he's going to marry Marion, the king's cousin, and have a baby, and what? That then he's still not king. Then
but his offspring will be, which is kind of weird for like a self-serving bad guy to think like, well, but my son will be okay. Like I'm talking more about like the earlier parts where we find out that in King Richard's absence, he's taken advantage of the situation to start like, you know, taking control of the land. Like that seems more of like a prince. Like, come align yourself with me, and you know, I'll take care of you and.
Yeah.
What I thought was weird about this one is, he is taking direction from someone, but he's taking direction from Mortiana. Why?
Also,
I don't know.
You know what?
What's
I
the
have
point
all,
of her?
As a ch- even, yeah. This is I another thing know. That as a kid, I felt very strongly the witchcraft stuff did not need to be in
weird.
There.
Nope. Mm.
It
makes sense.
I mean, it's like every time you go to see her, it turns into the Addams Family. Like, in terms of, like, even the reality gets heightened to a degree.
Yeah,
like, where's that light coming from?
There's and fog like, coming from the, like, green fog.
Yeah, exactly.
Like neon green.
Is there, like, I wonder if there's some historical significance. If there's some historical thing, like, whatever character, whatever person that this story was ever based on, if it was ever rumored that that person dealt with witchcraft, if there's some, like, I feel like they had to get that from somewhere.
I wonder if it was just an extension of your, yeah, that is interesting. I wonder if there's a basis for it in the folklore anywhere, or in history, or if they at some point settled on the idea of like black magic or witchcraft as being something cool that the bad guys could be into, because maybe in the 90s that was, well, sure, the Satanic Panic. I know that's a little before this, but in terms of like everybody freaking out about satanic cults and everything, that was definitely running into the early
90s. That was a thing, yeah.
Well, from the narrative standpoint, that Robin of Loxley has just finished fighting a holy war.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
And his foil then would be a Satanist.
So I wonder then if they running with that leads them to witchcraft and then an actual witch.
I just felt like there had to be some sort of origin simply because, like, I started thinking about it, like, really, if you took Mortiana out of the story.
Totally the same.
It's the same. You can just say, like, oh, the sheriff realized he needed to turn to the Celts. Oh, the sheriff decided to cut out the scribe's tongue because fuck the scribe.
Well, it's shitty in both versions because for reasons you just said, like, and it's in the very first scene with her where he goes to see her and she says, she does her whole ritual and the whole point of what it tells her is you have to kill Robin Hood and this painted man or else they're going to be trouble. No,
everyone
shit.
Would know that.
He, it's like,
everyone
and
knows
every
that.
Encounter with her goes like that until the end. And I think maybe this is just in the extended edition. He finds out she's a fraud, that she's been spying on him, and that's, you did see that part?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe that isn't
the hole in the
yeah. yeah. So I think maybe you did see the extended edition then. So in the end, when it's revealed that she's his mother, why? And revealed that she's a fraud, why? Then it's doubly like, well, then what the
yeah.
fuck?
What was this?
What was she here for?
And any other Alan Rickman character that he's ever played would have called her on that. Like, well, no, duh, I have to kill Robin Hood and the Painted Man. Like, absolutely, like, immediately. Would have been like, yeah, got it, Mom.
Oh, Robin's dead dad horrified me as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
That shot. Oh, boy, is that gruesome.
In general, this movie was pretty scary for me, but that was the worst part. I used to hide my eyes all the time.
That was a big deal when the movie came out, that it's like, why are you selling this as a family film when this is, like, legit terrifying?
Why were they selling toys?
Oh, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that's insane. You imagine, like, No Country for Old Men toys? No. That would be weird.
Yeah, I don't want to last a Mohican toy or exactly, a Dances right. Wolves toy.
Right.
There will be I need
blood.
A hug after
yeah, there will be blood toys.
I think it's just
your own bowling pin.
Before you see the movie, if you're, you know, because all that stuff, those deals have to be worked out well in advance. Mm-hmm. All you know is it's a Robin Hood movie. It stars Kevin Costner. It's a big summer movie. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be rated PG-13. And it's like, yeah, we're going to rub hard against that PG-13 rating. We're going to rub our butts and boners right up against that PG-13. Reading.
We're gonna snuggle the poop out of it.
Yeah, right out of it, Karen.
Oh yeah.
So the scene after Robin returns home realizes the extent of what's been going on when he makes like that vow at Dad's grave, right?
It does. When he cuts his hand,
yeah.
It's like, well, now you can't use that hand for
that
a while.
That is the worst blood vow I've seen in a movie. It's so.
By my own.
He's like, ugh, now I bleed for you. I hate it.
He's holding his fist.
Really bad.
I swear. I swear by my own blood. Well, time to go.
You're a great dad.
You're real swell.
I'm real torn
Thank
up.
You.
All right, I gotta go.
I'm telling you. I get it. I get it. The Kevin Costner thing. But unless he's talking to a woman in this movie, I have no use for him.
I think you just cracked it.
As soon as he talks to a woman, you're like, Kevin, right. You're like the lady. You really enjoy it.
But you're right.
Look at that twinkle in your
the
eye.
The big speeches, the big hero moments does not work.
He's not interested.
Do you kind of feel like Kevin Costner was on set with Morgan Freeman, like, couple of Americans in this movie. This is weird, right? And Morgan Freeman the whole time is like, yeah, it's really weird. And then they call action and Morgan Freeman tries. And Kevin Costner's like, oh, no.
As an adult, Morgan Freeman's the best part of the movie,
he's
for
so
sure.
Good. Yeah.
That character and his performance, he's really
so,
good.
He's so good.
Yeah.
As long as we're talking about Robin going home and seeing his dad dead and us meeting Duncan, can we talk about Duncan and how much I love him?
We can.
Sure.
Yeah. I love Duncan.
Great point. Duncan is a very
Duncan's great. I like
I'd have
his...
taken him down if I had any eyes.
I love him. I love his relationship with Robin and how they like Robin is always like ribbing him and teasing him, and Duncan just doesn't get the joke. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I slept in." So he's like, "No, seriously, so it's fine."
When I was a kid, I thought going into this, okay, Robin Hood, his sidekick is Little John, and in the movie, it was like. Okay, his sidekicks are these two characters I've never heard of, and Little John has a couple of scenes. That was always kind of strange. But I do like Duncan. Let's talk about Marion. I mean, you alluded to the fact that her introductory scene is a little bonkers.
Oh my god!
This is also another movie that forgets all about the badass character it sets up, and by the end, she's literally a damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Even though she's more than capable of handling herself.
This part made no sense.
Yeah, it's really strange.
So I'm going to go into the house, into the castle, talk to fake Maid Marian, explain the whole situation, and then real Maid Marian's going to attack me for no reason.
Was she not listening?
Like,
I mean,
there's an echo in there. She should have heard it twice. She attacks him, and you're like, why is she attacking him? I don't understand this. Didn't make a lick of sense to me.
Oh, I also remembered them having like very little chemistry and her being a little icy. That is not true. It's fine.
Oh, no, I always thought that she was kind of, again, it was a whole like, but you were a bully. I'm not like in love with
you.
No,
it totally.
And you can go away now.
It totally worked for me this time.
This is the moment when he gets interested in this movie. He turns it on.
Yeah.
Like, there it is. There's the smile. There's the sparkle in your eye. Mm. Because your character is about to get a woman, and this is the only thing you understand in your life, Kevin Costner.
I really like this scene, too. After once the sheriff's men start advancing on the place, and she's saying, go, I can handle myself. And he's saying, no, I said I was going to protect you. I'm going to protect you. And stealing the horses thing is just to get him to make a run for it. Like, that's all she's doing. And I love the look she gives him after she says it, where it's sort of like, you forced my hand here.
Yeah.
And I love the little, like, slap on the butt he gives her and her reaction to it. It's just, it's great. So the movie really picks up there. And then I think it picks up big time right after this when we finally get him into Sherwood Forest and he meets the Merry Men. Like, oh, this...
This was... I mean, it's like, good God, can we get to the Sherwood Forest, please? I mean,
here's the thing. So, that feels like something in a Robin Hood movie that should maybe happen... If it's an origin story, should maybe happen at, like, the 30-minute mark. We're almost an hour into the movie, and not only have we not met Little John and seen Sherwood Forest, all those things... Robin Hood has not held a bow.
Yeah.
He steals a soldier's crossbow at one point.
Yeah, he's had a crossbow that he's
But he
shot.
Has not... We have not seen him with a bow and arrow, and we're an hour into the movie.
Yeah.
So this is the duel with Little John on the river.
Will Scarlet, is that a character from the book or
there's thing? Not like a book. I mean these started out as like
folktales.
Even before that is like ballads that people would sing and that's how it got passed down.
Oh, but, yeah. So depending on the audience there were different characters in.
But Will Scarlet is like Little John. He's one of the mainstays.
Okay.
And in some versions
sounds like a pirate name.
It's in some versions it's you know his nephew or his cousin. I think this is the only version where they're half brothers.
Okay.
But Will Scarlet is definitely like one of the most well known of
the Merry Men.
Seen
the cartoon?
I don't think he's in the
then
Disney cartoon.
He's not
cartoon.
A real character from the story.
True.
He's not canon.
No.
I just keep thinking he's a pirate.
That's fair.
I feel really really weird about Christian Slater. In
general.
My life. And I think it happened when I saw Heathers. Because I think before that I liked him. And I was like, Christian Slater's so cute. And then I saw that. And it was like maybe the only instance in my life that everything stopped. And I was like, no. Never again. Like, no.
Just close that door.
Yeah.
We stay in there.
That was me seeing Christian Bale in American Psycho.
Wow. Ooh.
Yeah. Which is funny because that's probably when a lot of people realize.
So creepy, I can't be attracted to him though. It's just he's not cute anymore. He's just terrifying.
Okay, so the whole deal here, most of this second act is devoted to Robin encouraging these guys to stop hiding, start fighting back. And this is really, I mean, this is finally the point in the movie where Robin Hood starts doing all the things we associate with Robin Hood, stealing from the rich, giving back to the poor. And then, of course, there's back and forth with the sheriff. And I like that the entire second act can sort of be charted by his bounty getting higher and higher, like every time we check in with the sheriff. There's also the cut your heart out with a spoon line, which is
my one favorite part.
Do you like that part or do you like
because
the follow-up?
Because it'll hurt more. I like that better, but it comes so quickly after it that I just run them together in my head.
Why a spoon? Yeah.
I did remember that.
That's probably one of the things that sticks with you from the movie. Good.
I did remember that as a kid. Yeah.
I think I was horrified. I was like, a spoon?
He's not
awful.
But it's also funny that guys just like, well, this is what another reason like I don't like guys. It was kind of dumb. Like, wait, why? Like, duh, because a knife would be quicker.
Oh, yeah. For a split second, forgot the character's name is Guy. I thought you said, this is why I don't like guys. And I was like,
I thought you said that too. I was like, whoa.
Bad ideas are not exclusive to men. I mean, maybe we have...
So this is the scene when Robin slashes the sheriff's
face
right?
Yes. I love that it becomes a running thing.
Cuts a bit.
Yeah. And then escapes to the top... Before that, right before the sheriff enters the room, when he's with the priest, and he hears people coming. Did you guys notice what he's doing? He's looking for a corner to hide in a round room. He's literally just like looking around, like, where do I hide? Where's the corner? I can't find a corner. Where's the corner?
It's like Donald looking for the end of a circle.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Yeah.
So, I love that so
find
much.
It.
The guy at the end of the circle jerk is having
the best time.
And then he flies, you know, the rope takes him magically to the top of the bell tower. And then with all of the fervor of a rock, he says, it begins. And then he... Robin, I'm gonna get you.
It begins. You don't have boobs.
Then he falls out the window to his death.
Oh no.
So Marion winds up visiting Sherwood Forest, sees everything that Robin's been working on, the village they've built, the way he's training the men, his fantastic butt.
They have really cool, that forest, I love, that was really cool. I was really excited about
the Ewok village that they have in the forest?
Well, this is why they just reused the Ewok toys. They're like, why make molds for another, it's the same damn thing. Set.
They took the Hook set and put it on the Ewoks. Yeah, we all get it, right? They're Ewoks.
I don't know if, go ahead.
This is also where they have the "Did God paint you?" for certain why, because Allah enjoys wondrous variety.
Drawn out in the extended edition too, because in the theatrical cut, I think it ends with like basically him just saying like, "Yes, he did," and then we're
okay. So I did see the theatrical version where Friar Tuck becomes an asshole.
Right?
Don't you talk to me about Allah? Your lies about God and blah.
The movie has a couple instances of this, of forcing conflict, of like these weird subplots that get resolved a scene real later, where it just makes it feel like, so why? Why even go down that road?
It would have been better if Robin had that problem early. Like if Robin and you know, like he couldn't come to, like he wasn't so accepting right away of a person of a different culture. Mm. And then late, you know, like through workings, like, I do accept you are my best friend in the world. Like, that would make more sense than Friar Tuck being like, I'm a dick. 2 minutes later, not so much anymore. Let's have a beer. You don't drink more from me.
Right. I don't know if it's just the extended edition where this is a problem, but this whole sequence of her visiting the camp and everything just felt like it went on a little too long. Like, it just keeps going. And then, like, Little John's wife is having a baby and, like, come on. And that's the other thing. Does Little John's wife need to have a baby? Does Little John need a wife? Why is any of this? This is another thing that kind of feels like, I don't know why this is here. I don't know what this really adds
to. That was there so that we could learn racial and religious tolerance.
And then just in case Wolf dies, they've got a new son that she just squirted out.
They have like 7 sons.
You never even see the others. That's how disinterested the movie is. And
Medieval like families were like, I'm gonna have a bunch of kids, most of them will die.
Exactly. Yeah. We all played Oregon Trail. We know we need to do that.
More
math,
numbers.
Buttface has cholera.
Yeah.
Buttface has died. Exactly. Here lies Buttface. He was a Buttface.
I'm just saying, we're talking about a movie that in the extended edition is almost like 3 hours long. There is stuff that has to go, and even the theatrical one, I remember, this was like Dick Tracy. This was one where, as a kid, even though, you know, we had the VHS, I rarely made it all the way to the end of the movie. It's a long movie, and this, I don't know. It's like, it's like what Carlos is saying. If this is something that winds up playing a bigger part in the story overall, or something that develops over the course of the movie, rather than just like, in this scene, you're the worst. In this next scene, you're the best. Now let's move on. It starts to feel weird. And the baby, that whole, the drama of like, is the baby gonna die? Like, I don't care. Because also, who is this woman?
Also, Friar Tuck would not have believed the baby was holy when it was born. Like, with as much, like, religious bigotry as he had, he would be like, yeah, of course you saved it. It's now a demon baby.
That's true.
This is the Antichrist that you just delivered. Congratulations. I'm sure you're very happy.
I will say, as a little girl, I did love Penny, which is Little John's wife's name.
Never caught that.
Oh, wow. I was like, the niece from Inspector Gadget?
I liked her, too.
Yeah, she was cool.
She was, you know, she stepped forward and like, I want to help fight. I birthed 5 babies. Fuck you. I can fight.
Yeah.
And like, I, you know, her just chilling out at the climax. Her like, hello, Ben Lover. Like,
oh, that makes me uncomfortable when she says that. That's such weird terminology. And the way, and like, hello, my lover. Like, the way she says it, it's so weird.
In like a
weird
time period when most marriages, even poor marriages, were arranged for sense of dowry and that everyone hated each other, the fact that these two clearly love each other just gets me every time.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Lover's a weird word.
It is a weird word.
Wow.
If you ever introduce me as that,
I'm going to start calling you Lover.
I'm with Lover.
I'm with Lover now. I'm with Lover.
Oh, no.
Things that you've said on the podcast.
I'm with Lover.
Maybe that's why I hate the word so much.
I'm with Lover.
I want you to say that every time you go into a room with Kristen, Mike.
Every time I walk in.
Look at Banner, Michael.
Hello, my lover.
So the next, after the whole celebration and babies and racial tolerance, and the next morning when Marion leaves in the boat, like, that is the scene where, as a kid, I was like, come on, get on with it. This movie's too long. Nothing against the scene itself, but just sort of like, what's happening?
I have a problem with this scene.
Oh my God.
Okay, so Kevin Costner, what's his name? Robin Hood.
What's his name?
What is Michael Keaton's name in that movie? Batman.
Robin Hood asked Marion, hey, can you write your cousin and tell him the shit that's going down? Why didn't she do this before? Why did she never do this?
She can handle herself.
I just don't want to mess with this confrontation. Like, I'm just going to stay out of it, you guys. I'm going to stay out of it.
Mm.
It's a little...
Okay, so I was reading.
What?
I know. Back in the Middle Ages, there were three moons. Two of them left.
I get it. Mm-hmm.
That's how we've just got the one moon system.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So, I do like how frustrated the sheriff gets when, you know, he says he's like been punishing the people because of Robin Hood's actions, and that only makes them love him more. Here's where I'm confused, though. So this, the next time he sees Mordiana, she tells him, because the scribe is the one that informs him, this is how the people feel. She instructs the sheriff to cut that dude's tongue out, cut the scribe's tongue out.
Yeah.
And then the next time we see him, he's writing on the thing. And then at the end, Robin's like, where's the sheriff? Up the stairs. How'd you do that?
I'm healed. It's a miracle. Bring back Christmas.
Friar Tuck pops out. Ta-da! Okay, so the sheriff brings in... Oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I feel like somewhere around this point, there's a line uttered, nobility is not a birthright, mm-hmm. It's earned by one's actions.
It's not, who I am.
True.
It's what I do.
But that's completely against the medieval system.
It's true.
He's punk rock.
He invented America. We know this, right? Robin Hood invented America.
Mm-hmm. That's how it happened. With all those sassy scarves.
I think it's a nice line, but when he said it, I was sort of like, well, hold on.
But you are going to move back into that castle.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's your castle. Exactly. Because of your birthright.
That's not getting turned into an orphanage.
Are you going to give this speech to King Richard when he comes back? I don't think so.
Whoa, King. Glad you're back. You look great. First of all.
Hell of a war.
He does.
Third time was the charm.
You've lost some weight and the sun has done you some good. So here's what's going on. We hooked you up with a nice studio apartment because nobility is not a birthright.
We've decided.
Put me down.
So sheriff brings in the Celts for reinforcements. There's actually, this is the one part of the extended edition where they really go crazy with the devil worshipping guys, because there's the whole scene of their meeting. They got the giant pentagram.
I saw the extended version.
Yeah.
And I just thought those were Celts. Are those not Celts?
The leader of the Celts comes in at the very end of that scene.
Okay.
He's the dude who puts the fire out on his hand.
Oh, right.
But before that, it's just the other dudes that, like, these are the seven guys that are going to control all the land once Richard's out of the picture for good. And he's saying, like, you know, and he's giving them their bribe money and promising them this part of the map will be yours. And so that's what we're seeing here. Presumably, these are the same dudes from the opening scene telling Robin Hood's dad, join us or die. Mm-hmm. And he's the holdout.
I like how we have this, like, on one side, there's all this talk about, like, religious tolerance, and on the other side, it's like, but these Satanists need to die. Like, Muslims and Christians can live together in harmony, but Satanists...
We will kill them.
They need to be destroyed.
Well, Satanists, I think, are different from devil worshippers. Satanism is different from devil worship.
I think today it is.
Yeah.
But...
How?
It's basically, Satanism is now basically just, like... superhumanism. Like, they don't actually believe in, like, or worship a Satan. They worship, like, they're basically worshiping, like, human instincts, human nature. When well, we meet, we
incorrectly named.
Yeah, well, they wanted a cool name.
That's not Satan. That's just people. And our devil worshippers.
I'm
they
a Christian,
make more
but I
sense?
Don't believe in Christ.
Do they make well, more sense?
Are you interested?
I mean, now I want to know.
I have this literature.
Does anyone have pamphlets on devil worshiping or Christian?
So
without
you want to worship
Christianity
the
without Christ? Oh no, no! I love Jesus, but not Jesus, Jesus. Right. What?
Sorry. So now we get introduced to this whole thing about Marion being forced to marry Nottingham because if she does, da 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 da, his kid will be royal, whatever the fart.
Whatever the fart.
Oh, Duncan leads all of the Celts, everybody, right back to Robin Hood, right back to their
Duncan's
hideout
the
in Sherwood. This attack on the village, I remember this scaring the bejesus out of me as
he's
a kid.
Violent.
These dudes are scary. Like, just the Celts themselves are so scary. And Karen.
Gary.
The show is butt, but then it gets so weird with those hairy painted guys. He's not a fan.
Those ding-dong Celts. They're so scary.
I kind of liked the Celts.
You always love those bad boys.
So rough and tumble.
You're not invited to book club next week.
You treacherous.
You treacherous hoe. What am I, Tinkerbell? You treacherous hoe.
She was a treacherous
hoe. She was a treacherous hoe.
I think sometimes the silhouette of Kevin Costner in his raggedy clothesies and his
what'd
sexy mullet.
Clothesies.
Okay.
It's the Greek word for
got it.
Clothing.
It was the Greek god of clothing. Clothesies.
Exactly.
There was a couple profiles where I was like, Tink, is that you?
What?
Yeah, and I okay. think, honestly, I looked at it and I was like, well, he's better than Julia Roberts any day.
Oh my gosh.
He's a much better Tinkerbell.
Yeah.
She might have been a better Robin.
She probably would have been.
Doesn't he just kind of look like a hipster? He's got like 15 scarves on.
The scarves.
I like his costumes in this. I like most of the costumes in this quite a bit. I really love the different Robin Hood outfits.
There's so many.
There's like three.
If what you're making is all these like raggedy clothes, why do you have so many?
He doesn't. I think what you're seeing is that
puts a different scarf on top.
No. The outfit is very layered from the get-go. And I think you're just seeing the different layers of it.
But
he doesn't legit change outfits until the very, very end for that last battle. He puts on his special, I'm going to kill the sheriff.
Right.
He should be wearing green. There I said it.
I thought his,
all
my memory of it was that it was
green.
Just a very, very dark green, but it's brown and gray. It's
But everyone's wearing brown and gray. It's the Dark Ages.
I'm not, I just said I liked the costume.
I wasn't even aware he had any costume changes.
At the very end, when they go to kill the sheriff, he's got a different, he's not wearing like the
it's a really smart outfit. It's very handsome.
Well, normally he's got like a more bulky, there's like pouches and and it's very ornate and the cloak over it. At the end when they go, he's just wearing like that thicker like gray material that's got like jewels in it. That depending on what light he's standing in, like the jewels, that's also a very Schumacher-esque moment because it's kind of like the Riddler's costume at the end of Batman Forever, where it's like, depending on the way the light hits it, it turns into like a giant rainbow of all these like glowing jewels.
Yeah.
And even Azeem is wearing his I'm going to kill the sheriff outfit. He's got those giant silver balls all over his shirt. Everybody changes for this like big
battle.
It's a
really weird futuristic clothing.
It bothered me is that everyone changes.
This isn't even just a 90s thing, but this is definitely like a superhero thing of this time of like, we're going to sneak in one, like everyone's got to wear a different costume for the third act. They just, you gotta go big or go home.
They live in the forest. They don't have closets.
I think generally people had two outfits total, like lifetime.
Where could they want to store their clothing that the forest could not provide?
Yeah, I think he made it pretty clear.
Put it in a log.
Sure.
There.
Right. No. I
dresser.
All right. You're right. Dresser.
But so this whole attack on Sherwood, though, I thought was really good. Like Kevin Reynolds can shoot action scenes. This is well done. I always forget that in the extended edition, Wolf gets decapitated. That's like, that fucking comes out of nowhere.
What?
The kid, Little John's son, gets his head cut off. In this scene.
He's at the end.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, I was like, what? No. Okay, I did not watch this. Also, Elvis is in this movie.
I'm just marinating in the confusion.
Oh. Elvis is in RobinHood.com.
Wait, what episode is that
for? Home Alone.
Okay.
Elvis is in HomeAlone.com.
Speaking of, like, the Joel Schumacher-isms, I don't know that I would go that far
with it. The cock piece.
But, yeah.
God, I just got blasted in the face with that thing.
What? Please tell me that was intentional.
With his smelly little spunk.
Oh, Donna.
He does, though. They do that.
She's doubling down.
I didn't know it. Wait, he has a cock piece. He has a second time I've done that. He has a cod piece.
Yeah, there's a scene where Alan Rickman comes out of, like, I guess the bathroom, but it's like he's entering the scene with the scribe who couldn't talk but can again, and he comes right out, and right when they come out, the camera is right on his area.
On Alan Rickman.
She got blasted in the face with it.
Oh my god.
I got blasted in the face with that cock piece.
That's what I thought.
Oh my. Wow.
Oh man.
Did it happen to you?
No one else knows.
That shot does not exist. That shot was cut out 30 years ago.
Oh no.
Oh. Alan Rickman's codpiece ghost is living in my room.
What I was going to say was...
not bad.
The whole... This goes back to, like, the whole... This is a problem. The next scene, it's solved. The idea... Robin's triumphant return with the just the white light behind him and his silhouette looking so angelic and, like... It's so dramatic and it's so, like... Where's that light coming from? Exactly. Why did this happen? What's the point of him falling if he's just, like, in the very next scene, it's going to be like, no, here he is. I think what happened here is this, so I think it was probably around the mid-80s that all those screenwriting gurus started to pop up, and that's when stuff like The Hero's Journey became really popular, to the point where, like, even agents and managers were like, well, here's what your script's got to look like. And as soon as it becomes a formula, it stops, you know, it can't...
Yeah, it doesn't work
anymore. Yeah, it doesn't really work. And I think, more importantly, people were taking it too literally. Because this, to me, feels like, if you're going through the steps of the hero's journey, this is death and rebirth.
Yeah.
That moment just taken way, like, oh, this is the point in the script where this has to happen. But it doesn't. That really does not need to happen here at all. So to me, it just feels like somebody misreading how the hero's journey actually works. I always forget that Duncan dies. Like, every time I watch this movie, I forget that Duncan gets killed in this battle and they have to bury him. And then Will is among those captured by the sheriff's men. He says, I can get close enough to Robin that I can kill him. So the sheriff lets him go to do exactly that. So we think. Instead, he tells Robin, hey, we're half brothers, you're a dick, here's the sheriff's plan. And the whole thing about, like, how do you guys feel about them, the whole half-brother reveal?
I mean, explains Will's attitude towards Robin.
Yeah.
But is it necessary?
So I guess it's the better question is the whole thing. Like,
if you take out the character.
I gotta say, this is one of the conflict subplots they do restrain themselves on, like, in terms of, like, not blowing their load, not blasting you in the face with it right away.
But do we think that the reason they restrain themselves on it is because they didn't know it was going to turn out that way until maybe, like... the 50th draft of this?
But it is... the pacing of this particular... how this is revealed works for me because you do hear Robin tell the story about, you know, his mom dying and this other woman that Dad shacked up with. And I'm not sure... maybe I was too young. That, you know, maybe if I'd seen this when I was older, I would have put together right in that moment, like, oh, so you probably... oh, I see what's going on here. Maybe I could have called it. As a kid, I never saw that coming.
when I like rewatched this when you got me the DVD, I did not like when I saw that scene where he talks about his dad having, you know, meeting this other woman, I was like, oh, I did not remember this being set up this early.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that being out of the blue. I'm like, oh, this really, really did set it up.
And I love how poor Christian Slater, like, is really giving everything in that moment where he's giving it back to Kevin Costner about, like, you ruined my life.
Yeah.
And da-da-da. And then, reverse on Kevin Costner. I have a brother. Can you imagine, like, Christian Slater in that as an actor, I just can't imagine, like, you're giving everything and then this dude's just like, huh. Cool.
Yeah, I'm telling you, everyone in this movie must have been really annoyed with Kevin Costner. Everyone must have been. It's like, seriously, you're not even going to try? Come on, try. Just try a little.
I'll tell you, when I first saw Christian Slater, when he first popped up, because I had been having some problems with Kevin Costner already in the movie. It was like, you're 36 years old, and the way you're delivering these lines feels like an awkward 20-year-old.
Exactly.
Like, what are you doing? And then Christian Slater pops out, and I'm like, oh, you were supposed to be Robin Hood. Like,
yep.
The yeah. first thing I thought was like, oh, that's who it is. He's a little bit younger, and he's, like, real energetic and kind of, you know, sassy and well, sprightly.
Robin, yeah, Kevin Costner definitely feels a little too old for the role, but it's definitely one of those things where he's a movie star, so we're just, I mean, this still happens mm-hmm. all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But on a more, like, macro level, Kevin Costner, as one of the world's biggest movie stars,
mm-hmm.
that happened.
It was real. It was really, really
we
real.
We all were just like, yes, mm-hmm. He is, absolutely. And when you think about, like, the classic Hollywood leading men, even the era just before Kevin Costner's, your Robert Redford's, your Paul Newman's, and then here's Johnny Blankslate. And specifically, I think it's interesting that we all started this talking about how our moms were just, like, super enamored with him.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about Kevin Costner that is so appealing to, like...
Did he ask my mom this question?
He's okay. He's an attractive man.
Oh, he's not bad looking.
Yeah. I'll put it this way. If Channing Tatum couldn't act, he'd still be a big movie star.
I was going to bring him up in terms of before 21 Jump Street, before Magic Mike, before we knew he had this whole other side to him. Channing Tatum was one of those actors where you go like, that dude is a block of wood mm-hmm. and he is...
It wasn't
very
until
successful.
I saw him in...
he's a better carved block of wood than Kevin that is, Costner.
Well, it's also...
But he's also much younger. Like, young Kevin Costner was, you know...
We also expect more from our movie stars now.
Sure.
Like, it's been 25 years since that, you know?
Sure.
Even, like... I mean, even if you look across, like... Our professional athletes look way better now than they did then.
Living at the gym but is not even something that actors did back then.
Right.
No, but even if you looked at, like, okay, the 10 most successful actors of the 90s, you know, I'm sure Tom Hanks is on that list.
Tom Cruise.
He's still the odd man out amongst those guys.
I wonder if it is that sort of more down to earth. Like, you can imagine your husband like this guy. It's a little closer transition than, say, like, Tom Cruise, maybe a little more flashy.
He does have a little of that, like, corn-fed Americana.
Yeah. Some of those movies, I mean, Field of Dreams, I still love. Maybe we should do that someday. That's a great movie.
Kevin Costner is good in certain... I'm not saying he's a bad actor.
Sure.
He's totally fine. But this is the era that... I was saying to Carlos before you got here that this, for me, is the last time Kevin Costner gets away with being Kevin Costner in this kind of a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because after this, you get Waterworld, and it's like...
He's the plague after that. Nobody...
This is the... Nope, that doesn't work. And then after that, you get stuff like The Postman, and it's just like, all right, that's enough, Kevin Costner.
Yeah,
like,
yeah you're done.
Take it easy.
Mm-hmm. He can't carry a
genre. Those aren't your roles.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bull Durham?
Bull Durham.
I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah.
He's great in that. And I do think... You know what I said before about the reason he's maybe not such a great Robin Hood? The fact that he comes across as, like, so sincere and kind of wearing his heart on his sleeve, maybe that's part of the appeal. Maybe there's something disarming about that. There's something very accessible about him, which is what you were saying, Donna.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that. But it's interesting now to look back. Like, I could imagine like an 18-year-old now kind of being like, this dude was a movie star.
Yeah. Like in the 90s, like our big stars shifted to, like, they weren't so like corn fed, you know.
Yeah.
Midwest. I was going to say Middle East. Midwest, like weren't Americana. You know, they were Will Smith, you know, and Keanu Reeves, who is not that, you know. This Robin Hood thing was a different animal. And when he's being great in this movie, it's when it's funny and when it's like, and when it's more whimsical and more romantic comedy. If the rest of this Robin Hood movie was more like that, those scenes, much better movie, in my opinion.
Well, that's sort of what a lot of people jumped all over at the time when they were complaining about it, was the tonal incongruities, the fact that it's like the one, it does kind of feel like they didn't know exactly what version of this they wanted to make, so they just tried to do every version of it all at once. Like the darker, more violent, you know, action movie and the more whimsical romantic stuff. And it becomes jarring. And I also think the bloated running time is a huge factor in that. I do think that if you start trimming some of the fat and streamlining this, some of those issues would probably start to go away a little bit. But anyway, let me just rush through the whole last part of this movie here. So, Will tells him what the sheriff's plan is. He's going to wed Marion, hang the merry men they've captured. Let me read you the original version of that sentence. He's going to marry Marion and hang the merry men.
that's what he's going to do.
So now we get the final assault on Nottingham's castle, which, again, if it's inexplicably includes the reveal that Mordiana is the sheriff's mother. But I did like this scene a lot, too. Will getting tied to the barrel with the gunpowder in it, so they have to improvise a new plan.
This is one of the two scenes I had a big problem with.
Oh, shit.
Will is a terrible liar. The sheriff, like, calls him out, like, hey, did you kill Robin? He's like, nope.
No, he said, oh, he's
like, no, 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 he was already dead. Oh, great, so you saw his body. Nope.
Just say,
that fucker was dead, I saw it with my own eyes.
I killed him.
It is jarring.
Just say, I killed him.
You're right, because the part where he goes, like, did you kill it? No, but I saw his body. I thought, okay, well, maybe that's more believable. Okay.
Uh-huh. Or no,
he was already dead.
Great, so you saw his body. No, but I saw a grave. Why?
Yeah, I saw his body and I pissed on it.
You deserve to have your head chopped off because you suck.
Right? Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah, there had to be a better way for this shit. You know what? The sheriff could have just said, like, hey, that's great news. Kill him anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would have been totally in character.
So much better. Really fun.
I don't believe you.
I want to throw things at my TV.
The other part of that scene where they're like, that really bothered me is they're hanging everybody up to be hanged, and one of the merry men looks over at the kid and is like, "You okay?" No, no, he's not okay. Why are you gonna ask if he's okay? He's not okay. Y'all right?
It's like He-Man right before that battle of Masters of the Universe. How do you feel? Fucking eyes on the prize, big guy. What are you?
Be ready. Just go.
It's true.
Go.
What are we doing here?
How do you feel?
Dolph Lundgren is Robin Hood.
I'll tell you what. He'd have made some better cape choices.
I actually... I love the cloak. I have a list of alternate Robin Hoods. Because I was thinking about it. But,
Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Sure.
A British person.
Okay, so he's not on my...
Any British person.
That's basically what my list boils down to. This would not have been one of my choices, but someone who was offered the role and would have worked better, even though it wouldn't have been one of my first choices, is Mel Gibson. In terms of, like, the guy who's still sort of a little boy at heart, but, you know, and we've seen him give big rousing speeches, and he could have played both sides of this character.
He's done accents.
He shows his butt.
He is also a big deal butt, Mel Gibson.
He's a butt shower.
Got a fine butt on him.
He's an anti-Semite, so the whole thing about him being a crusader makes sense.
He needed to learn the lessons of this movie. That's why he passed. He was like, I don't agree.
Wait, he learns to accept a man of a different religion?
No, that's not what for me.
Gibson's out. The Gibbs says no. And, there it is. Stamp of approval on that joke. But yeah, I can see Mel Gibson doing this.
Jeff Bridges. Because why not?
Helen Mirren. What are we doing? I'd watch that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I
could see Jeff Bridges in it.
I could
really?
Too. I can too. Early 90s Jeff Bridges. Because that's the thing. You got to think about who would have been right for
like
it in the early 90s.
Fisher King, exactly. Jeff Bridges.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Beau Bridges. No, I'm joking. Joking.
Here, I'm just going to read you guys my list of alternate Robin Hoods right now.
Jonathan Brandis.
Now, a lot of these I realize were probably not big enough stars in 1991. But, okay, alternate Robin Hoods. Kenneth Branagh would have been... would have been great. Sean Bean would have been an amazing Robin Hood.
Yes.
I don't know who that is.
He was the bad guy. He's Ned Stark.
Edd Stark. Oh,
he was the bad guy in GoldenEye.
Boromir in Lord of the Rings. During that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's older than 6 years old. Game of Thrones, like 4 or 5.
So. Ned, the amazing job they put on that toddler who played Ned Stark. Whoa. That's a talent.
He's going to acting right then.
He's got one of those diseases where he's an old man, but he's really young.
It's the Benjamin
Button.
Benjamin Buttonism.
But yeah, Sean Bean would have been a great Robin Hood. Ray Fiennes, young Ray Fiennes, early 90s. Ray Fiennes. So good. So on the there's a behind the scenes making a featurette thing on the DVD that came out in, you know, before the movie was released. So it was like on TV. Pierce Brosnan hosts it. It's very hokey. Pierce Brosnan,
right? Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else was big back then. Who else was big in like 1991?
Yeah, early 90s. The other
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Sure.
Oh. Sure.
The heat off that Gosselaar kid, am I right? Richard Gere, who I've never been a huge fan of. Mm.
Another person my mom loves.
Yeah,
and I'm still stuck on Sean Bean. That was a good one.
He's another one who only would have been good in the scenes with women, like in the flirty scenes.
That might be true.
I want Sean Bean.
You know, it's funny that you had a problem with the Christian Slater being a bad liar. I thought for sure the scene you were going to have a problem with was that. As all of this is going on and Nottingham is trying... The sheriff is trying to get the bishop to go ahead with this marriage ceremony.
Oh, no. This is the one that I've hated since I was a child.
This is so fucking weird. So it's like... So and the sheriff's mom is like, fuck her. Just fuck her. Bah. And he's like, not until we're married. Like, I will absolutely rape this chick. Mm-hmm. But only after I get the thumbs up from God, mom. It's so... and they play it as a joke. The way he like splits her legs open.
It's not okay. It's there like are a number of rape funny. Jokes. And it is not okay. There are a number of rape
That's
jokes.
What I mean
it's not
about,
funny. It's
if
not
Alan
okay.
Rickman can't even... they can't stop themselves from hamming up these scenes, which should be horrifying.
I find it offensive.
And they play it like a Benny Hill sketch.
It's
like,
not okay. The whole like, put a pillow under her head. And like that's supposed to be like a ha-ha moment. It's not funny.
Oh, it's not
He
at
is
all.
Raping her. Yeah. That is not a thing. I this is, I even as a kid, I was like, that's not funny. Like actually that shot of him spreading her legs actually like kind of traumatized me. Like I still, like that is a scene that like sticks in my brain since I was a kid. I'm not okay with it. It's a shot that like, just the fact, like, it was in such poor taste, it has stuck with me.
This is why women were in action movies in the 90s, to get kidnapped and threatened with rape.
The scenes with the sheriff, like I said, they feel like they're from a different movie, from a director who is not in control of what's happening, of the tone, of the shots even. And it feels, well, this will reflect my opinions of this director, but it... All of his scenes feel like a Terry Gilliam movie to me. And just kind of like, I'm not sure what the tone is of this. Am I supposed to be laughing? Because I'm not. It's really kind of horrifying. But is that what you're trying to say? Is that somehow I'm supposed to be horrified by what they're laughing at? And none of it works.
Nottingham's relationship with women is a running gag throughout the movie. You've got that first scene where he's with the girls like, oh, who told you to cover up? And he's clear he's about to rape her. And then there's later on, he's got two women in the hallways. He's like, you, 10:30, you, 10:45, bring a friend.
Yeah, those are jokes. It's like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Those are rape jokes.
Mm-hmm. You guys weren't all laughing.
Hysterical, right?
I mean, I was near tears.
Yeah. Because he realized it wasn't even half over yet.
Oh, my gosh. The part where, right before, oh, gosh, what moment was it at? Where I paused the movie to go do something else, and then, like, the, you know, the slider that shows where you're at on the running time came up when I paused it, and I was like, there's 30 minutes left. This should be over. What, we should be going to the final battle right now. What could possibly take half an hour? When Azeem finally fulfills repays his debt. So when he kills Mordiana.
God bless Morgan Freeman. He looks legitimate. Like, I swear to God, this is Morgan Freeman's first time seeing this woman in makeup. He looks terrible.
Who was that?
She comes out and he's like, what the shit?
When he kills her, he doesn't have to do shit. He just holds the spear. Mm-hmm. And this crazy loon, this wackadoo, just runs. She's like, don't kill me. She runs right at it. He just stands there and she's like, please, how dare you? This is suicide. You did this to yourself.
Yeah, it's not working.
It's like Shannon Elizabeth in Scary Movie, where she's like, oh, I get it. Now you're going to break my leg. And the guy's just standing there like, that's kind of what's happening here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's. Ugh.
I just love Morgan Freeman's face during that whole scene. Like, what is this?
I'm going to have to pay attention to that next
time. So good.
What movie did I sign up for?
It's like, what is this? His first
big
day on
star,
set.
You might have said.
He filmed it in reverse. First day on set. I'm going to halt this. All right.
Cool. I'm just going to narrate things from now on. This is not working out.
Calls his agent. I'm getting a lot of money, right? We work this out. So the last scene is the wedding. Speaking of costumes and how many clothes everybody owns, I do like that every single person has, like, a fall-colored version of their outfit.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
They all coordinated.
Yeah.
Well, and then there's the big Sean Connery cameo.
How much did he get paid for this movie?
Well, he played Robin Hood in Robin and Marian. I think Katharine Hepburn played Marian in that. It was about an older Robin Hood returning from the Crusades.
Hmm.
And I think this is sort of a nod to that, and also because women, like my mom, had giant lady boners for Sean Connery. I remember she got really excited when he showed up on screen. Like, she was sort of like, to the listeners, that's just going to sound like someone jerking off.
Yeah,
my mom just whipped her dick out and started, like, masturbating furiously. And I was like, oh, this is cool, we can do this in theaters, I'm going at him, mom. You tell Dad you said it was okay.
I like that when you masturbate, there's a Louis Armstrong voice that comes.
What a wonderful world!
I see trees of green.
Free phrase.
Right, sure, Robin of Locksley. I love it. Jeff Goldblum would have been.
He
would have been the worst. It would have been interesting. I would have watched it.
What do we need? Forest.
I won't join you. I'm going to lead. I'm going to lead you.
I can't handle it. That's crazy. Dueling Goldblums.
Did you say dueling Goldblums? okay, so
it's the worst fight ever.
Dueling Goldblums is the worst fight ever.
I think it is.
It's a lot of jovial trash talk. Yeah. No one ever gets around to
it. Mumbling.
But you forgot. One thing.
I was going to say that. You forgot one
thing. 3 hours later. Yeah. It's terrible.
The Goldblum impression is only fun if you're the one doing it. Everybody else is like,
because you're picturing Goldblum saying what you're saying. Yeah, it's really funny.
Okay, final thoughts on Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
It's a movie.
It sure is. I think you can watch it.
You can.
I dare you.
To.
Is this the Bryan Adams song?
It's not as bad as I remembered it. It didn't make me as uncomfortable watching it again as I was when I was not yet 13 watching it.
Well, having participated in some devil worshiping yourself,
yes, now that I feel a little more comfortable. Yeah.
Carlos?
I had less fun watching this than any movie we've seen to date.
That's
including
so
Mannequin, crazy. Including Mario Brothers.
Really?
Including, yes.
Oh. Yeah.
And I'm amazed that that is true, but it is.
So
that's how I felt.
But you, okay, so I know you're not really into Game of Thrones, Lord of the Rings, that sort of thing.
I've seen all of season one of Game of Thrones.
Okay, then, but is it, so it wasn't just like the, you know, swords,
no,
horses, medieval,
no, no, no,
stuff, like that's just not your jam, that's not it.
No,
it's just,
that's not it.
Wow.
This was, no, I had little to no, you know the experience that everyone says they had watching Man of Steel? That's the experience I had watching Robin. I was like, there's no joy in this. I'm not enjoying it.
That's crazy. I thought I had way more fun with this than I did something like Masters of the Universe or certainly Mario Brothers.
Because there's those movies almost own their bad. You know, like they own it and they own the crazy.
This
was like crazy unintentionally,
yeah,
and they were not trying for it, and they were trying very hard to steer from that.
This wasn't even entertaining in a way they didn't intend. Like,
yeah, it couldn't even, okay, like, it wanted to get there, it just never got there. And I had, yeah, very little fun watching this movie. There are some bright spots, like I said, yeah, like, there are some bright spots. Kevin Costner talking to women, I think, is great.
Mm.
I'm a big fan of that. Morgan Freeman, great. Chris?
Okay, so
I would say probably don't watch it.
My least fun movie was Last Action Hero. I was like,
well, that's so interesting because this is a lot like Last Action Hero for me, where like I always remember it being a better movie than it is, which is what I said about Last Action Hero. I understand the faults, I see them, but I can see past a fair number of them and still have fun with it. I can kind of accept this for what it is. And I'm not using the word fun lightly here. Like, that was a huge factor for me in deciding how I felt about the movie, because we've watched stuff that was hard for me to get through. And, you know, like Carlos was saying, a lot of those same titles. This really wasn't. If Kristen said she wanted to watch it again this weekend, I would throw it on. I could watch it again that quickly. There were definitely better choices for the title role. I actually don't have a huge problem with Kevin Costner. I mean, like I said, that's not true. but it doesn't take me out of the movie to the extent that it seems to with other people. There are enough good moments with him that, you know, the bad ones, you kind of just, okay, we'll just suffer through this and get to the next, like, charming moment. Yeah, again, I think Rickman is actually the one that winds up being the weak link here. It's definitely too long. Even the theatrical cut really could stand to trim some of the fat. Just ditch the witchcraft stuff, some of the less interesting subplots. But overall, for me, Prince of Thieves, I would say, is flawed but entertaining. Kristen?
I love this movie. I still love this movie. It's interesting because going into this, I didn't see any faults. And I even told Chris as I was watching, like, I have no idea what you guys are talking about. It is a perfect movie.
That's awesome.
I see some of the points that you guys some of them I feel like I have probably what could be labeled as excuses for. Not reasons, but excuses.
Okay.
Other ones, I see it and I just plain don't care.
Yeah.
I one of my favorite scores.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so much into fantasy like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, but I do love historical fiction. I love medieval historical fiction like Pillars of the Earth, World Without End.
You are super into Lord of the Rings.
But fantasy is not my typical thing.
Okay, but all right, okay.
I'm just saying fantasy is not typically my genre. I do like medieval historical stuff, and I love the older I get, the more that becomes more of my favorite parts of this movie and less the romance with Marion. But A+. I love that it's both, it's violent and it's dark, but it's also funny. Like, I know other people don't like the contrast. I like it. Huh. It makes it funnier to me that it is so out of left field.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's do two truths, one lie really quick for this one. Okay, here we go. Two truths, one lie for Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. I'm going to give you two truths and one lie. Okay, number one, Princess of Thieves was released in 2001. It starred Keira Knightley as the daughter of Robin and Marion and Malcolm McDowell as the Sheriff of Nottingham. Number two, Cary Elwes, who went on to star as Robin in the parody Men in Tights, was offered the lead role in this film and passed because he didn't like the script. And Robin Wright was the original choice for Marion, but had to drop out when she found out she was pregnant. Ooh. So, Prince of Thieves was very nearly a bizarre companion piece to The Princess Bride. Number three, Costner and director Kevin Reynolds were longtime friends and collaborators prior to the making of this film, but over the course of the production, their relationship became contentious, and they have not spoken to each other since the movie's completion. Which one was the lie?
I think it was number one.
I think it was number three.
Carlos is correct.
Costner doesn't lose friends.
Well, but that's so when we... Okay, so here's the thing. It's... the real story, the real version, is actually a little more intense.
He killed his friend.
He murdered the guy.
he beheaded him?
Yeah.
He used the look at my butt defense and got off.
Exactly. No, so
my butt. No.
Look at my butt.
Look at my butt.
Look in my butt.
He's still alive in there. It's fine.
That's fair.
Now get off.
It's like, I want to do that.
It's just the hypnotoad from Futurama.
I choose trial by buttocks.
I don't want to do that. You just go.
No, I don't.
Let him go.
That's how it works every time.
Don't look at my butt defense.
Murder's not so bad, right, guys? We can just send him out of here.
Oh,
please, okay, no. So what actually happened is Costner and one of the other producers took over the editing of the film, like literally locked Reynolds out of the room.
Wow.
And although Reynolds was upset about the final cut of the movie, he still went on to make Waterworld with Costner a few years later. Same thing happened there. They argued throughout the entire production. Depending on who you ask, there are different versions of what happened next. Reynolds either flat out walked away. Well, no, he did flat out walk away from the film at one point, either because he was fired by Costner or because he'd simply had enough. In some versions of the story, this happened before filming had been completed and Costner had to take over directing duties for the last few weeks. In other versions, it was once again during the post-production and Costner had to oversee the final edit without Reynolds' involvement. That time, they did stop speaking, and Reynolds would go on to say that Costner should only star in movies he directs. That way, he gets to work with his favorite actor and director.
Oh.
They eventually reunited for the Robin Hood Extended Edition commentary track.
Oh.
And,
I need to hear that. Yeah. I would watch the movie to hear that
yeah.
track.
And Reynolds would later direct Costner for the first time in two decades for that Hatfields and McCoys miniseries that came out a few years ago. But yeah, Princess of Thieves is a real movie. I'm not sure it's like supposed to be a direct sequel. The fact that the Sheriff of Nottingham is still alive.
I would say not.
But they call the cover is like, I mean, they're aping the look of the movie. They called it Princess of Thieves for God's sake. Like
yeah,
it's,
I mean.
And then yeah, apparently the Cary Elwes and Robin Wright thing is also true.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Alan Rickman. What time is it?
It's time to play Who Would You Be and Who Would You Have?
Damn it, I was looking at Chris's face.
Okay, let's guess for Donna. Donna, don't take this the wrong way. Now, originally, for Who You Would Be, I was like, oh, Azeem? That's a non-controversial choice. I said I wound up saying you would be Friar Tuck. In parentheses, I guess, to explain, I put beer and Jesus camp.
That's not a bad choice.
I guess that's what I was thinking when I wrote
this. Those
things
are both true.
And then who you would F, I was torn on. It was either Will Scarlet or Sean Connery, because I think you have sometimes have had like a silver fox sort of a sort of thing. I'm going to go with Will Scarlet, though. Carlos, who would Donna be? Who would she F?
You would be Asim. You would F Will Scarlet. Yeah, Will Scarlet.
I would like to say that I had the same answers as Chris originally for the same reasons.
Friar Tuck?
Yeah.
Look, oh my gosh.
Written down.
For the same reasons.
Religious, drinks good wine.
Kicks the cardinal's butt.
There you go. The
But now based on your well, we were speaking, and I'm going to say Marion because you said she was cool.
That's
holy
true.
Shit.
Oh, you read all of my things.
No, no, no. I just read one thing in particular that I can't wait to elaborate on once we get there.
And I said that you would fuck Will Scarlet.
Okay, we just say F. Hey, let's keep it clean.
And this is a family show.
She's our guest. She can say fuck.
All right, fine.
I said that you would F Will Scarlet.
Mm-hmm. It's instantly so vulgar when it's like, and you fuck Will Scarlet.
It's weird to type.
You remember the time you were like, who would you be and who would you stick your shit?
It's weird to type out F.
Okay, done.
Pretty much wrong. I think I would be Marion. You got that one. Oh, yeah, wow. She's lovely and she has nice, pretty clothes and I wish I had hair like that. It's lovely.
Mm-hmm. It is lovely hair.
And I would F Little John.
Wow.
I hate Christian Slater.
Oh.
I can't. He creeps me out all the time. I can't do it.
She said that.
So
even knowing that, I don't think Little John would even have cracked my top.
He's huge.
But he is Little John.
Yeah.
It's okay. I mean, it's not always quite.
Little John might not be an ironic nickname.
A correlation. That's fine. I'm just like a really... I'd have to, like, reach up so high to get up to his neck.
What are you doing up there?
Just a hug or something.
You know what effing... You know what effing stands for, right?
It says in who would you be and who would you H.
Such a worse
game. Would help
game.
You get something off the top shelf.
Yeah.
It's a much worse game.
Okay. Who would Carlos be? Who would he F?
I think Carlos. I think Carlos would be Little John. Because he's huge, right? I think he's a good character.
He's a good H-er. We know that.
He's really good at H's.
And then, there's not a lot of ladies, so you would probably F Marion.
Who would you say for Carlos?
I have the same answers. I said you would be Little John because he kicks butt, he has kids, and he's funny.
Aww.
And I said you'd F Marion.
I said Carlos would be Azeem because he's a devoted family man, and because he has, like, that dry, sarcastic sense of humor with Robin Hood. And I said you would F the woman whose ring Robin takes.
Oh, good call.
She's pretty hot.
Yeah.
I would be Asim. And yeah, I would F Marion because I didn't remember the girl in the carriage.
I mean, it's pretty much just the Marion show as far as the women are concerned.
I mean, you don't like her lady-in-waiting?
I'm also Marion.
What is her name?
Sarah.
The years She's have been kind. This is a great line.
Oh. Kristen, who would you be? Who would you F? Oh, I said... Who would I... Okay. I said you would be Robin Hood, and you would F Will Scarlet. And let's be clear, just in case you don't realize, that doesn't mean not at the same time.
Or
you can if you want.
If you want. It's your choice.
That's incest. It's your that's choice. More Carlos's thing.
That's...
And if you want to F Wolf, that's more Donna's thing.
No, that was Carlos's thing.
No. This happens every time.
No. Pedophilia is your thing. Incest is my thing.
No.
And peeing on every surface.
That's this guy.
I was really mad at him because he peed. He peed his pants. Chris, you've peed on everything. You've got 9 pee stories. This isn't about me.
No, that kid peed on me. I don't pee on people.
I don't feel like that's true. I bet if we go through your history, you've peed on many people.
Okay, but like not on purpose. And not like maybe caught in the crossfire. There's a breeze, but not like that wasn't the goal. Oh, so you would...
Robin and Will Scarlet.
Yeah. Who would Kristen be? Who would she be?
You would be... You would F... I would say that you would F Robin Hood. I would also say that you would be Little John's wife.
Hmm. Hello, my lover.
I'm with lover.
I think he would be maybe Marion, because she's pretty and she's cool. And I think you would F Will Scarlet, because you don't seem afraid of Christian Slater.
Or pirates.
It's a good choice.
Well, I said I would be Azeem. Mm. I said Marion's pretty and kicks some butt, but she's way too proper and she still becomes a damsel and then gets almost raped.
Oh, so. Can I say, before you finish this, before I forget, my other problem with the movie is that Marion should just have kept that knife.
Yes.
And been the one to kill the sheriff.
That's
at the
how
end.
I remember it happening.
It's so stupid.
And then when I saw him take it out, I'm like, I really thought that she did that.
And it makes
really
no sense
that
she gives it to him and he doesn't, that he just hangs on to it for no reason. Just so, yeah, it should, and then she would have killed him with the knife he gave her and it would, anyway.
I also have to look into whether or not there were sewers in Jerusalem, because they definitely come out of a manhole in the first scene, like the Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, in the Middle East, like, they were way more technologically advanced than...
Mm-hmm. 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 That's true.
I think plumbing... is what allowed cities to exist.
It's true. Yeah. Did they have manholes? That's my question. Did they come out of one like it's Manhattan? You know? And all I could think of that at that point was the Shawshank, where Tim Robbins is crawling through the shit pipe. Yeah, mm-hmm. Because Morgan Freeman's in both movies. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the shit pipe.
So then I was just sitting around, just going like, my friend.
All those shit pipes running underneath the,
yeah.
The city.
I'm just sitting there watching the movie, just going like, my friend, Robin of Locksley. The whole time.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And who would you F?
I would F Christian Slater.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
As previously stated, I do not find Kevin Costner attractive, so mm-hmm. It's not a thing.
Okay, I just want to clarify what I saw here.
I was trying to get to format notes. Them all the same, and then I got lazy. Mm-hmm. I realized the second you look at the thing, you're like, oh, that's what he's
I doing. Just want every. I want you guys to see what I see in these notes. For her first note about... okay, so here's why she doesn't want to be Marion. Look at the next line of this sentence.
I can't see it.
All caps.
Almost gets raped. Fuck Christian Slater.
All caps. I would fuck Christian Slater. That's great.
I just thought you were angry at him.
Just on a rant.
Fuck Christian Slater. He's not in this movie, but...
Okay, who would I be? Who would I have?
You'd be... the king? Played by Sean Connery.
No, okay.
And you would F Will Scarlet.
I think you would be the sheriff. Because it's fun. Why do I always make the worst choices for you? I'm sorry. And then you would F. Yeah, Marion.
Okay.
That's a fine choice, right?
I said that you would be Robin, because he's funny and he's brave and...
Very even?
She said brave.
Funny and he's brave.
She said he's funny and very even.
Very even.
Not
and you're like my romantic lead, so I always see you as the romantic lead. And I said that you would F Marion, because she's pretty and there are no other girls.
Mm-hmm. I would be poop smeared hobo Robin, the least popular action figure in the line. And I would F Mortiana the witch because she scares me. And that's how I conquer my fears. Those are not my real answers.
Yes, they are. Wait, what was the Empire Records thing? Like, crazy? Crazy as good a bed.
Deb was absolutely, rapsitutely my pick. No, I hate to be so conventional, but Kristen's exactly right. I would be Robin Hood, and I would positively F Marion in her VAM. In her...
What?
Oh, VAM.
VAM.
Her V-A-N-M, ladies and gentlemen.
I got it.
Oh. But
probably not in that order, for sanitary reasons.
I'm just glad it wasn't a van.
Why did I...
That got real Buffalo Billy. Real...
Poor McVeigh.
Oh, no.
Get some McVeigh. Oh, no.
Terrible. Terrible.
We did get another iTunes review. I don't know if I should read that.
Read it.
Yeah, I didn't read it. Read it.
Okay, so...
Don't mumble through the half of it. Read the whole thing.
Read the whole ding-dong thing.
The whole ding-dong thing. It's actually not a long one, so that...
They suck. Fine. Also, Karen...
Yeah. Okay, so here we go. And for those of you, if this is your first time listening to the show, we encourage our listeners to leave reviews, but when they do, to work in running jokes from the show into their review, and then we'll read that on a future episode. So, the latest one comes from Food Mabudge. I think it's supposed to be Fudge Mabudge.
Fudge Mabudge.
Donna, did you write this?
I'm a fudge, my bud.
Is this yours?
Curmudgeonly fudge, my bud.
It's true.
Okay, so Fudge My Budge says, "This is the best podcast in the world. Probably." "I love how listening to this podcast feels like I'm just hanging out with good friends, reminiscing about our wacky childhood and the effect the movies and TV we watched had on our lives. Not since Ghostbusters 2 has the aligning of the three moons created such magic until it brought Chris, Donna, and Carlos together at Starbucks so that they can create this very entertaining podcast. They always have great insight about the movies they review, but I think the crazy tangents they sometimes go on are my favorite parts."
Yay! Aww.
Thank you, Fudge Mabudge.
Yay, Fudge Mabudge.
Food Mabudge.
All right, guys, that's it for us. Don't forget, if you're a fan of the show, rate and review us on iTunes. You can also like our Facebook page to find out what we're looking at next and to share your own memories of these films. Follow us on Twitter at HDYRpodcast. Let us know if you have suggestions for other titles we should revisit, and we'll see you next time.
Everything I do.